lesson today is on putting off pride. Of all the struggles discussed in the series we've been having the last few months and weeks, on putting off certain aspects, negative aspects of our human nature, God is very specific about pride. Everybody can hear me okay? Is that right? God hates it. God hates pride. In fact, it sits at the top of his list of things that he despises. Scripture does not paint a rosy picture of the heart of mankind, and pride figures in almost every condemnation passage. Here's a couple. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behaviour and perverted speech. Proverbs 16:5. And then verse 18. The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Many of our problems result from pride's work in our lives, but too many of us, all of us, fail to realise this. So before I go much further into today's lesson, I came across via my good wife a list called 50 Fruit of Pride. Now, I won't read out all 50, but I'll just use it to flesh out how pride manifests in so many ways, because it's a bit of an anomalous sort of thing, pride, in how it works in our lives. So number one, just start at number one is, so listen to these and just mentally, we won't ask you to put your hand up, but just have a little mental notes as we go. Number one, I tend to be self-sufficient in the way I live my life. I tend to think I have enough strength, ability and wisdom to live life and manage my life. My practice of the spiritual disciplines is inconsistent and superficial. I don't like to ask others for help. So that's pretty much what comes to mind, I think, in most of us when we sort of think the idea of pride. Okay? And as Christians, we try to guard against being characterised in that way. You know, I think we're pretty conscious of trying to do that. Excuse me. Okay, now let's listen to more specific descriptions about how pride raises its ugly head in our lives. I want people to be impressed with me. I like to make accomplishments known, my accomplishments known. I feel hurt or offended when they don't. Another one. I often feel insecure. I don't want to try new things or step out into uncomfortable situations, because I'm afraid I'll fail or look foolish. I am easily embarrassed. That's a bit of a different slant. I am self-critical. I tend to be a perfectionist. I can't stand for little things to be wrong because they reflect poorly on me. I have a hard time putting my mistakes behind me. I find myself trying to preserve my reputation. I find I hide the truth about myself, especially about sins, weaknesses, etc. I don't want people to know who I really am. I like to talk, especially about myself, or persons or things I'm involved with. I want people to know what I'm doing or thinking. I would rather speak than listen. I have a hard time being succinct. I'm self-serving. When asked to do something, I find myself asking, how will doing this help me, or will I be inconvenienced? Is any of these hitting home yet? I'm not very excited about seeing others be successful. I tend to feel envious, jealous, or critical towards those who are doing well or being blessed by God. I often feel ungrateful. I tend to grumble about my life a lot. I tend to grumble about my lot in life as well. I tend to feel mistreated or misunderstood. I seldom recognise or sympathise what's going on with others around me, because I feel that I have it worse than they do. I have a hard time listening to ordinary people. I listen better to those I respect or people I want to leave with a good impression. It's pride. I feel compelled to stop people when they start to share something with me that I already know. You ever had anybody do that to you? I find it hard to admit that I don't know something. When someone asks me something, I will make up an answer rather than say I don't know. I don't get much out of teaching. I tend to evaluate a speaker rather than my own life. I grumble in my heart about hearing something a second time. I have a hard time admitting that I am wrong. And when corrected, I become contentious and argumentative. I don't take people's observations seriously. I minimise and make excuses for my actions. Have we got everyone covered by now? Has everyone been covered off yet? Here's a couple more. I'm independent and uncommitted. I don't really see why I need other people. I can easily separate myself from others. I don't get much out of group meetings. I'm unaccountable. I don't ask nor want others to hold me responsible to follow through on my commitments. I don't really need accountability for my words and actions. Last one. I'm unsubmissive. I tend to resist or resent authority. I don't like other people to give me orders or directions. There's a list of 50 of them. That's just a dozen. And I must admit, I guess like all of us, that more than a couple of these made me feel a little bit uncomfortable. So I hope by going just through this list to start us off, we can see how insidiously, in some shape or form, Christians can battle with pride every day. That's why the sermon today is called Put Off Pride. Arrogance, self-promotion, lack of giving to others and to God, a selfish attitude, inability to seek help, refusal to listen to the advice of others, lack of submission to those in authority, a spirit of rebellion, bragging, all these things. And as believers, we need to be aware of Satan's goal, which is to deeply wound and destroy the lives of God's children. He never gives up on his quest to reach this goal and will wreak havoc as much as possible in the life of a disciple. When we begin our Christian walk, our focus is set on God and our hearts are fully committed to him. Then, without warning, pride begins to rise up, preventing us from being all God wants us to be by blinding us to his ways. The pride does. But just before I continue, I just want to point out that we sometimes use the word pride in a sense which does not fully denote the biblical sense of pride. For example, we might say we take pride in a job well done, or we're proud of our children. So these terms are more closely related to satisfaction or being pleased about something or someone. Okay? See, because God has given us talents and abilities for us to use, and they're for His glory. That's why we've got these talents and abilities. And He wants us to do our best. Okay? And when we do, we honour Him and the work of the Holy Spirit within us. So these concepts are mentioned, you know, they're positive concepts when you think about them, and how when in Scripture, look at Paul, when he speaks about how proud he is of various churches staying strong in the faith. In the face of all the trials and weaknesses they had, he says he's proud of them in their ability to withhold and withstand trials and temptations. There's nothing wrong in taking satisfaction in your achievements, being able to please someone you care for, or seeing the fruits of your labour achieve positive results or congratulation. The trouble begins when you pass from thinking, I've pleased so-and-so, that's nice, to thinking, what a top bloke I must be to have done that. That's the difference. And the more you delight in yourself, and the less you delight in the praise, the worse you're going to become. It's insidious. It grows. It grows within you. It changes us. So here are some examples of pride influencing people in the Bible. The Apostle Peter, overly confident in dismissing Jesus' warning that he would fall away when Jesus was arrested. Pride. Saul of Tarsus. He was so self-righteous and proud of being the perfect Jew, he thought he knew what God wanted. He knew what God wanted and proceeded to persecute the church. A fellow called Diotrephes was a church leader who refused to welcome and support the Apostle John and his fellow workers because he felt threatened. He felt his authority threatened by them when they came and visited the congregation. What about Michael, David's judgmental wife, who was embarrassed by David's dancing in the worship procession? She was more worried on how that would reflect on her than how it would please God. Pride. And King Uzziah attempted to light the incense at the altar. It's something that God had appointed only the priest to do. It wasn't up to him to do that. Only the priest, no one else. And in pride, he assumed that no action was beyond his limits. You see, Uzziah, I'll get this wrong a couple of times, Uzziah, his God-given achievements added up during his reign. He was blessed. Early on, came to the kingship at 16. God blessed him. As long as he kept to God's will. But the adulation of his people and the worldly recognition increased as his blessings came and his victories, etc. And the trappings of power and prestige grew as well. And as a result, his prideful heart and self-conceit grew too. And in his arrogance, he began to think he could do no wrong. He no longer relied on the wisdom of the Lord to guide him. The drift in his devotion to the Lord was subtle. That's the thing with pride, it's subtle. Yet as his successes grew, so did his prideful heart. The godly foundation that Uzziah had built up in his youth began to slip. And his good character, it just couldn't keep up. So as his successes get bigger and bigger, and his pride gets bigger and bigger, but this foundation, godly foundation he had, it just couldn't keep up with as the adulation and the self-worth and all that sort of stuff started to build up in Uzziah's heart. And he was blinded by, his pride blinded him, and it was just disastrous what happened to him. He wasn't the same man after what happened when he tried to burn the incense. Got leprosy, went downhill, never the same man, never the same king. And just like Uzziah, we can either obey or dismiss the wisdom in God's word. A spirit of pride will always encourage us to turn from God's way and follow our own line of thinking. We may not even consciously refuse to do what God has given us to do. But deep inside, that's what's going on. It's our pride working in us. It's like a degenerative eye disease that slowly creeps up on us and blinds us to what we're becoming. And as our prideful thoughts and actions increase, our moral warehouse can't keep up also. Can't keep up. And can't keep us on the straight and narrow path. We need to be aware of this. C.S. Lewis, in his book Mere Christianity, has a number of useful insights into what he calls the great sin, the vice of pride or self-conceit. Paraphrasing what he says, pride is the one vice in which nobody in the world is free. Everyone loathes it when he sees it in someone else, but which hardly any people ever imagine they are guilty of themselves. People may admit that they are bad-tempered or lustful or drunkards, but, this is C.S. Lewis says, I do not think I have heard anyone, certainly those who are not a Christian, accuse themselves of self-conceit. Secondly, pride is essentially competitive. Pride gets no pleasure out of having something. Okay? Pride gets no pleasure out of having something. Only having more of it than the next person. People aren't proud of being clever or rich or popular. They are proud of being cleverer, richer, or more popular than others. See, if everyone else became clever, rich, or popular, if everyone else became that way, there'd be nothing to be proud about. Once the element of competition, the comparison with others, once that's gone, so's the pride. The need to feel superior in comparison to others is what feeds one's drive to commit sinful actions. See, this pride, it's just not cut and dried. This is pride. This is why God hates pride. Okay, here's an example. Bit of an actual example for us. People fail to tell the truth for a number of reasons. They may tell lies because they want to create an overinflated impression about themselves or avoid people having a negative opinion of them. Or they might withhold information so that they can have the upper hand over someone. Okay, have the one up on someone because I just won't tell them what's actually going on. Whatever it is they do, the liar seeks to have a sense of control over the situation. Their pride needs to establish superiority and or prestige over others. That's why people lie. It's all about self-conceit, self-esteem. That's why pride is so dangerous. But don't get me wrong, God wants us to have a healthy self-esteem. Okay? God wants that for us. But he also wants us to learn how to handle pride so we'll not miss out on his blessings. This is the difficult path we walk. He wants our nature to be able to handle pride. The other toxic thing about pride is that it is not just based in feeding our feeling of self-importance. Okay, it's just not the big-headed side of things. That we have all the answers to life and have control over everything. It can be just as powerful when manifested in feelings of inadequacy. Pride often surfaces because a person feels inferior and thinks they need to be more than what they actually really are. It's the other side of how pride works. Don't fall for Satan's tactics. He tells us that we must reach certain levels in life to have a sense of worthiness. More stuff, better social circle, more admiration, the list goes on and on. You may think you need to push your way through life, walk over people, all that sort of stuff, but you don't. And herein lies the reason why God hates pride. That's because pride isolates us from God. It takes our focus away from Him and plants it fair and square upon ourselves. Whereas God wants us to know that through Jesus Christ and the working of the Holy Spirit, we're everything that we could ever want to be. So, how do we guard against and then ultimately put off pride? How do we do that? Firstly, I have to be aware of spiritual indifference. As pride takes hold of you, there's a gradual cooling of your spiritual temperature. And as I give in to pride, I no longer seek God's guidance, as I used to. I no longer have quiet time reading God's word. I no longer converse with God in meaningful prayer. And I no longer look to spend time with my brethren. I'm getting further and further away from the things that I used to do. This pride takes over. There's this coldness, this spiritual indifference to how I see the world. And then pride takes further hold of me. It's got me. So I need to get out of that spiritual slump I'm finding myself in, that I'm sinking into. So I've got to get back into serious time, Bible reading, meditating on God's word, take time for honest and heartfelt prayer. I've got to restart my relationship with God and my brethren and get my Christian discipleship back on track. That's the first thing you've got to do when we start to feel this insidious indifference coming into our spiritual life. These things that we've been going through, just all those lists we just went through, that sort of stuff coming into our thinking and our doing. Okay, secondly, I have to replace self-centeredness with service. Take your mind off yourself and focus on other people instead of me, myself, I. Seek out how you can be involved in the life of others, rather than looking at ways to be more satisfied in your own accomplishments or well-being. See if you can convert that energy into helping others. Look around for activities that other people are involved in, and ask, how can I help you be able to accomplish what you want to do? Not like the one that said, is this going to take some of my time away from me if I've got to do this thing? What's in it for me? Ask, How can I help you get through the situation you're going through? Don't feel sorry for yourself because, for some reason, get swallowed up in your own self-pity. How can I help you get out of the situation you're in? How can I use my talents, my gifts, to be able to help you going through what you're going through? Romans 12, 7 and 8. If your gift is serving others, serve them as well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Replace self-centeredness with service. That's the battle we've got to do to put off pride. You've heard the saying, let go and let God. We've all been through struggles that have seemed insurmountable. We run around in circles of frustration or even despair. We toss and turn in bed. We're beside ourselves, trying to work out how to resolve things. We've all been there. And there, meanwhile, Satan's in your head. Satan's there going, saying, don't ask for help. Don't ask for help. You can do it. You can do it apart from God. Don't tell your friends. Why tell your friends that you're struggling? Why do that? It's Satan. After all, they'll think you're not as strong and faithful as you make out. Been there? We need to realise that there is no benefit in being over-reliant on ourselves. That's Satan feeding your pride. Drop the facade. Drop it. Admit that you don't have all the answers and tell someone you trust about the trouble you're going through. And from experience, I promise the sense of relief you'll feel, how freeing it is when you discover that your brethren don't feel badly about you. In fact, they show more love and care towards you than you could imagine, than you've got for yourself. And that's because none of us live perfect lives. We haven't got all the answers. Meanwhile, Satan's going, beep, 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 don't do it. You can do it yourself. We need to know that we are loved for no other reason than because God is a God of love. And he cares for us no matter what situation we're in. Doesn't matter. When you learn to do this, you will not only gain a sense of hope, but you will also come to realise how valuable you are in Christ. And that's what Satan trying to do against us through feeding or planting pride in our lives, in our heart. That's his aim. Remember C.S. Lewis's observation that pride thrives on competition. We need to understand that in God, you come up against something that is immeasurably superior to yourself. This is C.S. Lewis's words, not mine. Okay? You think you've got all the answers, you think you've got it all made. I don't need anybody. Have a look at God. Immeasurably superior to yourself. And as long as you continue challenging God's sovereignty in your life, you cannot know him. See, God, that's the thing, pride builds up, this word that C.S. Lewis calls enmity. It's combative. It compares you to other people. It puts you at odds to people. And ultimately, it puts you at odds with God. And Satan goes, beauty. And that's where humility comes to the fore. Ask God to open your eyes and show you where your pride is manifesting. If we put ourselves in a position where we spend less time and effort thinking about ourselves and instead spend more time and effort thinking and knowing about God, we can't help but become humble. Galatians 5:24-25. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We live by the Spirit. Let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Don't let pride get in front of us, get it overtake us. Help get the Spirit to help us to keep in step with the Spirit, not in step with pride. Humility is not, okay? Humility is not putting oneself down. Nor is it pursuit of mediocrity or a lack of direction or desire. It is being sober in your self-assessment, okay, in the light of Scripture, and walking in the acknowledgement of God's grace, knowing that we're loved by God. It's knowing what you are gifted in and that you are called to help and serve others. That's humility. Humility is committing ourselves to be in tune with the will of God, not the will of ourselves. 1 Peter 5:6 says to humble yourself. Humility isn't an emotion. It's a decision of the will to think and act differently. Okay? It's an action. It's a decision. Relying on the Holy Spirit to teach us how to rest in His infinite care. It's not easy, remember. Remember your war against pride, it's lifelong. It's not a battle won in a day. But it's a battle to be fought every day. Okay? Peter reminds us to clothe yourself, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5:5. Paul instructs us to live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Romans 12:16. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Colossians 3:12. And to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing humility to all men. Titus 3:2. That's humility. So then, put off pride. We've seen what it is. Be conscious of it. Look at it in yourselves. Put it off. Stop being someone who is devoted to myself. That's what I've got to do. And I've got to seek humility and become someone with a heart devoted to God. And remember, the next time you're invited to a fancy banquet, be careful what seat you choose to sit down in. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Thank you.